What's up, everybody? Welcome to Binge Town TV. Today, we're back with me, Kathleen, and Julia, my amazing co-host, and we're choosing love again for Survivor 46, Episode 2, titled Scorpio Energy. We got some Scorpio energy on this podcast, don't you think?
We sure do.
Yeah,
I'm a Scorpio baby. I'm a Scorpio baby. That means I'm a little bit crazy. I'm a little mysterious.
That's true.
Sexy.
Who was the Scorpio? Venus? Tevin? Who's Scorpio?
I don't want to say because it was actually about
who?
And I'm not talking about this season.
Oh, it's about Jeff?
Yeah.
Oh, why did I not clock that? When did they say that? During the challenge?
You didn't clock it because this episode title was so poorly named. It had nothing to do. It was like one quick moment that, like, honestly did not need to be there. If horoscopes were like a through line of this episode and like we were getting like some Kendra energy, but no, it was like a pass away comment that they had during their actually epic Matt talk that this was the moment you pulled from that. No.
Yeah, true. You know what the episode should have been titled?
Tell me.
Sharpest tool in the shred.
Ew.
Or how about felt higher than rocking a sick show?
I disagree with both of those because let me tell you, on my rewatch, anytime there was somebody wearing an article of green clothing on my screen, I was skipping.
Yeah, on your rewatch. Yeah, correct. I needed to skip the challenge because I had to rewatch The Traitors today as well. So there was a lot of rewatching to do for my long day of podcasting. But if there was a challenge I wanted to rewatch, it would be this one. Because this
was
high energy, baby. But wait.
It was Scorpio energy, baby.
How did you feel about, and I'm going to give you a little bit of bias here in my question. How did you feel about, thankfully, the last 2-hour episode for a while?
Oh, yes. Not leading at all. Not leading the witness. Thankfully, the 2 hours are done. You know, it's that trade-off between, like, there are things where we got more camp moments and we were like, yes, this is what we've been wanting. Mm-hmm. But now I'm saying, like, I'm skipping through this. I do not need to see you guys naming every motor breath Dalica. They're like, song in this episode. Like, I just don't care.
I do care, but post that on YouTube. Because here's the thing, and this is what the tweet said that I sent you guys. There was a tweet of like a supplemental content that I saw that said, why are we putting the like Metallica Taylor Swift conversation in the episode when this conversation happens? And it's a conversation between Venus and Tevin, and it's them like putting their shit on the table, kind of going at it a little bit. And it's much better for like the arc and the story of the season. They needed, the only reason they did that is because Sega had zero time on screen and they needed
to do
that.
That's what I was going
to
say. Yeah.
And it really is turning that like Yanu is the new Lulu and they have the majority of the time. And then like the Venus and Tevin of it all are like sneaking in there. But man, Sega, it's got nothing.
Well, exactly that. Yanu is the new Lulu. When we get these tribes that just keep going back to tribal council week after week, the people who remain are the only people you get to know across the season. I mean, it's why we loved Caleb and Emily so much, because we just got so much time with them last season. But I think the reason, exactly what you said, why we have this Taylor Swift, Motor Breath, Metallica showdown is because there was nothing else for them to show us. Besides, I'd say the other like moment for Sega was the Malcolm and Denise flashback that we got between Charlie and Maria.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, like no content we needed. And the only reason that Nami has content that we wanted to see in this episode was because they have the biggest personalities.
Yes.
In Tevin and Soda and like the clash of Venus and this like two people on the outs trying to team up to like hopefully make a flip for their own game in Venus
and,
Randon. It's interesting. Like they're just doing more right now. Whereas Sega is like a high vibe tribe where everything's all cool and like whatever. And there's nothing really to report.
They really do like each other. I enjoy
it's great. Sounds great.
Charlie and Maria of it all. I will say that Charlie wasn't someone I was drawn to in episode one, again, because Sega wasn't really shown. We don't know them. I really liked him in this episode. I feel like he's reminiscent of like a young player from the earlier seasons. Like he's talking strategies, like a kind of like a, he reminds me of like Spencer or something.
I knew you were gonna say that.
With less like savagery in him. I think Spencer was ready
and like likes women.
Correct. Yes. Did Spencer not like women as a long
time
ago? Did
you remember him saying stuff about Cass being like an old hag? Like,
oh, yeah. Well, I think that was just reminiscent of the time, too. It was like 2010. We're just calling women hags. Yeah.
Yeah. Happy International Women's Day to you, Kathleen.
Happy National Hags Day. Y'all, bitch. Okay. Wait. All right. So, I think for the sake of this episode, let's just ride on Yanu for this, like, for a while, because they have the majority. I think we can knock out the majority of the episode just by going through Yanu, and then we can talk about, like, a little. Okay.
No, wait. Can I? How about me? Can I? Because I actually have some notes on the opening package.
Oh, yeah. Hit it.
Okay. Talk about Scorpio energy is me. Like trying to read into the horoscopes and like all the little like signs and tidbits that we're getting in this opening package. Imagine, here are the things that I noticed in the opening package, and imagine that they are foretelling of some in some nature.
Okay.
The things that stood out to me. First one, Gem, low coverage. She, like, when you think about the package that they built, they did it. I think they might do it in each season. I don't know. Don't quote me on that. Don't write.
You're talking about the main theme, like
the main theme.
Okay, got it.
Yes. Yep. Thank you. Ancient voices.
Yeah.
They do it tribe by tribe. So we start with Siga, we go into Yanu, and then we end with Nami. You get two shots. Most of them are like a mid-challenge or like activity adventure shot. And then one's like a really tight close to their face.
Okay.
Gems were abysmal. They were just like, she barely was in it. It was really far off. There were other people in her shot. Very like low coverage. What that, yes, what that signals to me is like not a standout person in this game. Like probably just going to fly under the radar and be quite forgetful. She didn't need like a standout package. Charlie and to Maria's cut, their cut was back to back. And you see, this is really interesting. You see Charlie on one end holding like a log or something, and he's pulling from this direction, and it cuts immediately to Maria holding, ooh, like a log on the other direction and pulling in the opposite way.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. So you think they may become at odds at some point?
Maybe. Hey. Madame Zeroni. Only Madame Zeroni knows. Madame Zeroni is Austin from season 45. The real ones know, okay?
The real ones do know.
My next one is Kenzie's are pretty lame too. Hers are like her looking down in something. And then the next one's her just like covering her face in almost embarrassment. And like, she's laughing a little bit, but it's like, why is the tight close up shot of their face where she's just like covering her face like this? Like we can't see her. That's not helpful for the audience. Mm-mm. So maybe producers are just like, yeah, she does have hometown bitch energy and let's give her a shit.
And that's saying what Twitter is saying. We don't believe that. We're just saying
we don't believe that.
People on Twitter think she has villainry in her eyes.
Now, these two, I think, are particularly good and striking. Hunter just had an all around good package. He had his like adventure one. His like little one shot was him kind of covered in mud and carrying like one of those giant puzzle pieces from our first episode. Just looked really strong and looked really buff. Great. Next one, just a really simple like tight shot to his face. His hair looked great. The lighting looked great. It was just like he looked handsome.
Okay.
So Hunter, cool. Great shot. Venus has a tight, ooh, shot where she's got all this beautiful like sand in her eyelashes. Beauty queen. It's just giving beauty queen energy. You know, we've already talked about the Parvati of it all. She had a memorable like grab to me. Mm-hmm. And here, the most interesting, Soda is the only one with fire in her package.
Okay. You're good at that. You claim every season we watch, you know who's going to fire. Every single one.
Did I even?
Does that mean that Soda, you've called it ever since Carson?
Okay.
And we've only been watching since 43. No, we did 44, 45, and that's twice. So yeah. Those are the only ones we've seen live.
That would be my prediction. And if I get it this early in the stage, I don't know, slap my ass and call me Madame Zeroni.
That was good. Thank you for that analysis, because I skipped it on my second watch. I was excited during our watch when we watched as a team. And then, you know, I never watched it
tribe.
Again. Yeah, as a tribe.
Now I will let you have the reins.
Okay, let's jump into Yanu, because the whole episode is basically about them. I want to talk about my fixation, which is Banu, because LMAO. What a wild man. This man, like, Kenzie calls him, this episode goes from Kenzie calling him a liability right from the jump, like right in the beginning, post Jelinski boot. And then in the challenge, he's screaming. And then at the end at Tribal, he is devolving and being like, who should I vote for? To the person next to him. Hooked out of the 15 or so seasons I've seen, that is like the goofiest, like, quote unquote live Tribal, where it's like not live, but he's walking around to people during it being like, what do I do? What do I do? It's like,
it was kind of sad.
Yeah, that's like, that is just anxiety bubbling.
And you could tell he felt foolish. I mean, he said it. He literally said it. But yeah, it was like anxiety manifested.
So obviously we know Jess ended up going home. Between Jess and Banu, I think they're both absolute liabilities on the team, but Banu is delicious for television. So I hope he stays. I hope Yanu can pull out a win next episode, because I don't want to see it go to like Lulu and just go to three and then they have to be spread out.
Agreed. Agreed.
I would hate that. I would really hate that.
Yeah, anyway, I agree.
Let's open it up to Yanu. We can talk about anything. I think like pre-challenge, it's just people kind of like, Tiff's nervous about how friendly Kenzie is. Jess is eating ants. Kenzie has a little bit of a breakdown. Mm-hmm. And then Banu, Jess, and Kenzie have a conversation. Anything you got there? Well,
the other thing to me on the Banu train that's hilarious is like the first like little segment we get of this episode is him like opening up. He's meditating. He's like sitting on the beach. He's talking about how he's like, I can do this. I have it in me to like win this game. Then it cuts to him sitting with Kenzie and he goes, I can't stop thinking about this game. To which Kenzie replies, really? And I'm like, yeah, fucking no shit. It's like, what else are you going to be thinking about, you guys? Yeah. And but he's like looking to her to be like, how can I make this work? How can I make it to the merge? And it's like, she's not your coach. Like, she's not your helper here. I don't get why he has not one strategic bone in his body.
Well, when he turns to Kenzie and said, what should I do? And she's like, whatever you want. He's like, don't do that to me, Kenzie.
Yeah. And she has a really good response in saying, this is your game too. Like, take some ownership, have some authority over this thing you chose to do and are like, make a decision. I just thought it was hilarious that he was like, I can't stop thinking about this game. It's like, yeah, of course. Like, we're stuck here on an island. There's not much else to do but think about the game. And that's the whole point. Like, if the strategy eats you alive, if you're strategic. If not, then you're just like, I'm just thinking about the game.
Just thinking about the game. I mean, this is his life. But later when him and Kenzie and Jess are talking about, oh, I wish this was the end of the game. Like, final three, could we do that? And Kenzie's like, anything can happen. And Bonner's like, what are you saying? Like, it almost felt like a proposal. Like, what are you saying?
We could.
Are you proposing?
She's like, I killed the other tribes. It's happening.
Yeah. And then Jess, in the only strategic moment she's had in this game, goes, let's talk about Kenzie.
That was hilarious.
That was probably Jess's best moment on her short two episodes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the Jess of it all. Did you listen to that? I forgot to send it to you, but did you listen to her exit?
I wanted to ask you, so you listened to the RHAP exit interview. Let's hear about it.
I did. The thing that stood out to me was like Rob asking Jess, do you regret it? Or something about like how she feels about it after the fact. And she goes, if I don't think about it, like, no, I don't regret it at all. But like, as soon as I think about it,
why are people stating the obvious?
I know.
I'm thinking about the game. Well, when I'm not thinking about it, I'm not regretting it. It's like, okay.
But it's almost like she's like goes about her day and she's like not thinking about the fact that she played Survivor and placed 17th. And like, she's like, if you were to just talk about Survivor to her, she'd be like, yeah. But if you, as soon as you like connect that she's she's connected to it, she's like, oh no, didn't like it. Don't like it. You just reminded me, hate it. I think she was like a threat away from quitting. She was not doing well out there. I've like read other interviews and coverage of her just being like, she's walking into trees. She was like losing her clothes in places. She didn't know where she was. Like, she's like elderly brained.
Do you think it's worth going back to the way it used to be where, you know, you can forage for food like in a town, like to certain things where you can have food from the jump. It doesn't have to be, or you're on a boat and you have to get as much supplies. You can grab chickens and you can grab whatever you want. and you have to decide what's important and you have to swim out or get in a boat and swim, like something where you're set up from the beginning with what you can grab and what your team decided to do. But this whole like putting people out, there's no food, nothing, like that's why Hannah quit. I mean, she was also like a smoker. She wanted a cigarette. She's like, there's many reasons for Hannah. She was just like, I can't do nature, apparently. So there's a lot of things with her. But I think if Jess just had some like water and a little bit of food, it might have changed her whole game. And I get that Survivor is like you starve a lot in the beginning on a lot of the old seasons.
Yeah.
But some seasons you starve and some seasons you don't. Sometimes the starving plays a big part and sometimes you don't. I feel like.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Like it's either the casting is not going well or the state of the game is like creating people to, I don't know, just spit.
I think it's. Yeah, no, I think it's like a perfect storm. I will say I don't like, I never really loved the like, I mean, I guess I saw it in Pearl Islands and it was fine, but then I immediately forgot about it. Once they make the transition from being in reality, in the space of the world we occupy,
sure,
onto island life, I forget all about. Like, I'm like, I'm here on island life, like anything before this, like I'm here with you guys. So I don't really care about the like bartering and like the buying stuff in town. I think, yeah, for all the Jesses and Hannahs, though, you got to think like those two. Now it's do some quick math for me. 18 times two. I can't do that without a calculator. What is that?
36.
Other people. 17. Okay. Minus two. 34. That's 34 people who were fine, you know?
Yeah. But then like Sean kind of quit. Okay, let's move forward. Let's move forward. All right. So let's talk post-challenge for Yano. We can get to the challenge later, but let's just talk through Yano. So Tiff was pissed post-challenge, and then it turned into sobbing. And I really liked this moment for Tiff. You know, Tiff's been like a badass, super tough. And you think she's crying because she's frustrated about losing, but then she's saying she's upset because she lost control and she doesn't want people to perceive her that way. I thought that was a really sweet moment. I really enjoyed that. I like Tiff a lot. I hope she's one who like sticks around and makes it to the merge and doesn't get the boot because she's so strong.
I totally agree. You can tell that that challenge really crushed her, but she still had the wherewithal to recognize, like, she's very self-aware that in that moment where she's on the mat after the challenge and Jeff is asking her, and she's like, I'm not gonna say anything because now is not the moment. I'm sure Jeff fucking hated that.
Yeah,
just like, wait a second, you can say no to answering my question. Both of you are gonna say no to answering my questions, and like, yeah. I wish you did, because that would lead to a better television. Okay, I guess this is what happens when you play The Sims, Jeff. Okay.
Wait, what?
These people are Jeff's Sims.
Oh.
Like, this is what happens. You create a simulation and like sometimes it gets carried away. It's like Westworld, Jeff. Ever heard of it? They didn't do what he liked. I think it was like smart in of Tiff to hold her tongue in that moment. I love her. I think she's strong as hell, and females are strong as hell.
International Women's Day. International Hag Day. Everyone celebrate. Congrats, Tiff, for being
I was more going for Kimmy Schmidt. Congrats for being
a I'm a hag.
She's
too.
Anything
not,
but.
Don't clip that as a thing without the context. Hags are fabulous.
Totally. I identify.
Me as well. Okay. So thoughts on the fake idol play. I want to hear all of your thoughts.
I have like zero thoughts. Okay. No, I have thoughts. Jess also spoke to this in her exit interview. That basically her feeling of it was like, why were you guys trying so hard to get me out? Like, why? Like, she almost like spun it on them to be like, why are you trying so hard to get me out? It's like, because you're on Survivor and you guys, again, are forgetting that it's a game for $1 million.
But I kind of
that's
agree
why
with
people
her.
Are trying so hard.
That was a lot of effort where they could have just voted her out. They just didn't want her to play a shot in the dark. And it's so funny how they're all so scared of a shot in the dark. They did all of that. They were like parading her around. Jess was like, the conversation on my rewatch between Jeff and Tiff was Jess and Tiff was making me laugh so much because Tiff's like, yeah, man, I'm really worried. Like, she's trying to put her best acting forward and Jess's like, you're worried? Oh, yeah. We should look for idols. Like, she's not doing well. They're like forcing her into this. She can't find it. I honestly don't think Jess is like as stupid as they made her seem when it's like she couldn't find it. It's like he stuck the thing on her in between two rocks. I don't think it was that bad that she couldn't find that. And then Q going as far as giving it to her, I'm like, this is all too much. The fake idol play at Tribal didn't play well. I feel like Jess, that probably just like embarrassed her a little bit and was just like, but there is the scene where Jess was like to Q, like, promise me this is real. And Q gaslit the fuck out of her. So it's just like completely unnecessary to me. But fine.
I think he played that off really well, though. He was like, fine, then give it to me back. Like, if you don't, like, it's my idol. I'm trusting you. Like, come on. I was like, oh, shit, that was smart. It is kind of fucked up, though. But it's villains.
Unnecessary, because they were all going to vote Jess anyway. I mean, at first, okay, let's talk about it, because the plan was goofy. Q gave Jess the idol and was like, you just have to vote for who I want. I'll give you this idol. And then he was like, I'm just going to get her to vote Kenzie. And then when he was talking to Banu and stuff, I'm like, oh, shit, they actually might vote Kenzie off. They got me a little bit, for sure. Mm-hmm. But they didn't. It was a clean sweep for Jess.
Banu also got me with just his tribal council showing that I was like, oh, they might have to switch their vote in this moment right now and get rid of him.
He's such a liability. They can't let him go to the merge. They may throw another challenge just to get him out, honestly, at this point.
Him at the merge? Uh-uh.
I adored the scene of Q explaining at tribal to him, like, do you understand why you can't just go crazy at tribal and say everything that's in your mind, because now we had a plan, everything was fine, but your anxiety took over, you start blabbing, now Jess feels threatened, she's gonna play an idol, and then what if she writes my name down and I'm screwed all because you did that? I thought that was like a really nice, clean way of explaining the game to a super fan, apparently, to Banu.
Yikes.
I really enjoyed that, because I'm still unclear about what kind of a player Q is going to be. I think I feel like he is highly strategic, but I can't tell because he's playing with a bunch of ding dongs. I need him with like legit people like ASAP.
That's exactly it. I think him and Tiff are, well, Kenzie's playing quite hard, but I don't know that she's playing hard in a way that's going to benefit her long term. I think she's like coming out of the gate a little too hot. I think Q, if he can make it to the merge and not a Lulu situation where he's like the strong man coming in, that they're like, he's an easy target to pick off because look at him, he's gonna like win the individual immunity challenges if he makes it through mergatory.
Sure.
It's like he needs some more allies on Yanu. Like they can't lose. They can't lose. I think they will, but they really have to keep their numbers.
Yeah.
They have to keep their numbers, but they also have to get rid of Banu.
They do. And I foresee, so probably next episode, there's probably going to be like another adventure or journey where they go. And maybe if Q goes, he can make some allies on the other side or whatever. That always helps. Not always, honestly. Sometimes they're completely useless, but sometimes it does help. Anyway, but to finalize tribal, I mean, Jess calling Kenzie out as on her like swan song to be like, you're so great and you're gonna eat everybody moving forward. I'm like, okay. Kenzie's like,
yeah,
damn, bitch.
Yeah, truly.
I'm gonna blow up my spot. But I think everyone's aware of that. Maybe
I
not
think
Bonham.
So too.
Maybe not, oh, Bonham, of course. But definitely Q and Tiff.
No. Agree.
And I think my last thing of the tribal is just Banu naming five things about himself and then doing the power with the five hand made me cackle out of my skin.
I did it to you at the end of the night after when we were leaving the house and you actually flinched.
It moved.
I just held out five hands and the power moved you.
From across the room too. And I physically jumped back. That was fucking crazy.
Oh my God. Yeah, right. It was hilarious. Keep him on my screen, but like, get him off this island.
I am enjoying him, but he's thoroughly cuckoo and Sano.
Cuckoo caca and Sano.
Cuckoo caca
and Sano.
All right, also let's talk about the challenge. Also, what?
He could be a hag. He's a hag to me.
Oh, happy International Women's Day and be kind.
Be kind.
He's like, just be kind. Be kind. Jess,
that was incredible. I mean, his blow-ups were wild. Even the one they had on the mat where he was like, we want freedom.
That one was the first one to make me cackle.
Your laugh
say.
At that?
It was I shook the room. I laughed so hard. It was just, it
came from like the bottom of your gut. Like it came from these deep in your bowels.
I feel like it was just getting lower and deeper in my vowels the entire trash talk of being on the mat. Like,
starting
from Hunter saying last name first out and everyone being like, oh, shit. And Purple being pissed about it. I loved it. I think we were all kind of holding our breath like, yeah, let's fuck.
Yeah.
Let's shit.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Actually, the first person to speak was Tim because he said legendary.
Oh, yeah. But that was
which
I feel like that's just like, oh, they got out a big, tall guy who like, you know, they all met beforehand. I think they were probably like this Jelinski guy, like he's talking in third person. He's cocky as fuck. And he got.
But hit. Do you think he was saying like, how did Tim know that Jelinski was saying that he was going to be legendary and like be a legend?
Wait, I have the same question because Charlie says, were there several reasons?
Yeah.
And I'm like, how does he know about several?
Wait.
How about several? Several happened at Tribal. They called out at Tribal.
No, it happened on a beach. It happened on a beach because remember, Soda goes, a few is more than a couple.
Okay.
Bitch.
Wow. I was like, yeah, there's a conspiracy.
I was ready to back you on. I was ready to pay you for that.
Okay. I wrote that down. So good. I'm glad I'm wrong there. But even Soda being like, so how's the food? Like,
oh, that was unnecessary. Like the fun trash talk was done. And then she like came with this quip that was just like, whoa, stop.
Wait, how do you feel about, first of all, love her name, Sadasia. I want to call her that. I love that. That's like good. That's good mouthfeel. Sadasia.
Sadasia pop.
How do you feel about her yanking the immunity idol from Venus episode after episode?
I
don't understand why she's doing it because she seems like cool. I think she's just so excited that she's like, give me. She's you.
It's me. It's me. Oh my God, it's me. It's me at Christmas time when I want to, anyone opens their gifts and immediately I want to be the first one to hold it. It's grabby childish energy that I understand. And like, it's like looking in a mirror and I hate it. I don't need that mirror put up to my face.
Hey, give me that.
When I watch Survivor. Hey, give me that. It's like me asking you for a sip of any drink you've ever had before you get to drink it. Life. Yeah. So really, I don't want to talk about the Sadasia pop of it all because it's like holding a mirror up to my face.
This doesn't really matter, but I want to put it on air. I was talking to Alex about the time that so recently we were somewhere, a chip that fell on the ground that we were eating. I picked it up, I put it on the table, and then Alex ate it. This reminds me of the time in New Orleans when me and you were at dinner and I put my gum in a napkin and you ate it because you thought it was bread.
I was like scavenging for any leftover bread and I ate your balled up piece of chewing gum.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. I'm glad that's in the ether. Okay. Let's talk about the challenge. What did you think about persistence?
The word was incontinence. The word. Yeah. Can you imagine? They're like holding up blocks and they're like, breathe. What could it be? What could it be?
It's incontinence.
Persistence. Damn, that looked freaking hard.
I think it's like the hardest challenge I've ever seen. One of them, at least.
Do that? Didn't they do that last season? But
yeah,
smaller?
But it's smaller. So like they didn't need people like holding up with every ounce of them. And people, I gotta say, Jelinski would have really helped in that challenge.
Oh man.
Way more than Jess.
He would, I mean, if anything, they would have just said, like, what's the middle letter? Whatever. Hold this eye up. Just stand there and hold the eye. Like, you almost need to start with that, no?
I mean, the challenge was they couldn't fit that block sometimes, and then move it, things fell. That was crazy. We were like holding our breath during that. There was commercial break in the middle of it. And when they cut two, they had that crazy shot of everyone like slow-mo screaming and like in pain. And everyone after was crying. All the teams, they were so like from frustration, from exhaustion, from like winning and being happy. But like, I really enjoyed that challenge and thought it was like that. Talk about the great equalizer, says Drew.
Basile. I loved it too. I will say to your point, like in seeing just the raw emotion that came out of them finishing it successfully or not successfully, well, I guess for the successful people, as hard as that shit looked, I would not have wanted to have been a sit out for that challenge because to have missed out on such a team building.
Yeah.
Thing, like there's a moment, I think Sega has really good teamwork. I know they came in only second, but Tim was very, used his words in a very supportive and like positive way to the rest of his team. He said at one point to Maria, he's like, Maria, you've been holding up the longest. You've got it. Yeah. You've got it. And then at the end, he's like, it took all of us. It took everybody.
Yeah.
But like, imagine then being Mariah coming off the bench and being like, good job, guys. Like, that would kind of suck.
Agreed. I think it helps a little that they won and they didn't lose. And then if you sit out and then you lose that challenge, I feel like you're at the bottom because they just spent worked their ass off to do that. But how about the Liz and Mariah meet? I saw a tweet that was like of Parent Trap. It's like Liz and Mariah talking to each other on the sit out bench. And it was just two pictures of Lindsay Lohan, obviously, as kids. And they were like,
it's like them holding up a picture of their mom and one holding up a picture of their dad and being like, I carry it. This is my personal item. This is my luxury item. They hold it up and it's like a perfect match.
I don't even
think they look that much alike.
It's just like reddish hair and glasses and like a buff on their head. It really is. it's like, it's not that, but I say that and I still confused them last episode. So
you sure did. Yeah, that was a great cut.
I liked it. I feel like the editors were having fun with that challenge a little bit with the slow-mo and like the like intense challenge and then cutting to them with quirky music in the back being like, hey,
like your socks. Look at us. It totally cut the tension in something that was like otherwise very, very edge of my seat intense. It was a good challenge. I rewatched it. So that's all you need to hear from me as far as praise.
Okay. I want to hear your honest opinion on the Tevin versus Venus court of law.
I'm a little worried for Tevin as Miss Tevin. I'm a little worried for Tevin because I think this is going to be, well, I have both of them in my pool. So like I'm fucked.
Oh no, but I think they're going to
go for each other. I think Venus is going to have to go for Tevin and she's going to have to pull the like, look at this personality. Like he's such a big, fun, like we can't let him get to the beach and with everybody else on it and like have him be going off and making alliances here. America's going to love him. Like the country is America. The world's going to love him.
Yeah.
We need to get rid of him. I love him. So I think that's going to be like what she's going to try to do. And you could see a lot of that in this, like her calling him the king and like social butterfly and being like, I just, you know, she felt like the kid left out on the playground.
Venus is struggling emotionally to connect with people. And I feel for her. But Venus does have an attitude. There's a part where she literally, Tevin's talking, she puts her hand up to him and walks away and rolls her eyes. And I feel like when she sees the playback, she's going to be like, oh. And I think she's fed up at that point. I don't know that she was doing that in the beginning. I think she's definitely has an attitude now. But Tevin is also acting up. Like he's giving her attitude and it's obvious and it's like palpable or whatever that word is. But like even Soda is like turning on Venus because of the number, like willing to turn on her, not to sacrifice her own game, which I respect for Soda. But it was interesting to hear Soda understand who Venus is, talking to Tevin, being like, listen, her like emotions can change on a dime. Like, I know her, like, I love her as a person, but she is like emotional and this and that. So it was nice to hear that, like, Soda, who like was her original ally, may not be her ally anymore, but that still could come back. I think that Soda could come back, but I don't know that Tevin and Venus could ever.
I don't see that meshing.
But so I have Randon. Okay, so my pool is fucked. I had Jess and Jelinski. I also have Randon and Venus and thought I was fucked because I was like, they're going to go after each other and I'm fucked either way. But now I love these two are working together. These two are the ones on the outs on the team. Randon less so. But now that he has the Beware advantage, let's talk about that. They're going to work together. So how do you feel about the Randon and Venus of it all?
I think it's the only way they can play it. I mean, you could try to squeeze your way in and like try to build some trust and like some social currency and sharing with the dogs on top in Tevin, Soda, Hunter that you have a Beware advantage, but that just puts you fourth in a 4-man alliance. So I think it works to his advantage to try to go for someone else kind of on the outskirts. It's risky. It's like it might not work out, but like what else are you going to do?
Yeah, I don't think he has any other play, but I like the like unlikely pairing of these two, especially because Randon's like, she's the last person I feel like I should trust, but she's the one that I'm feel like I can. So here we go.
I think
it makes him more interesting, honestly. So
that's a gamble, like, for sure.
Gonna give him more screen time because he's like, he doesn't have much screen time so far.
No.
Who does besides Yano, really? But
yeah, true.
The last Yanu thing I want to talk about is Liz. Now, I want to hear your opinion after the second episode, what your opinion on Liz is.
My opinion on Liz is for me to pay her even $1 to open an email, what would that subject line need to be?
Okay, you're sending her an email, but paying her $1 to open it.
Isn't that how money works? Isn't that how Liz made $1 trillion?
I'm going to pay you $1. You have to open this email.
Yeah.
It is kind of confusing how she's saying she makes her money, but
she's like paying, okay, like companies are paying her to do their email marketing. But I'm trying to put it in my place. And I'm like, this woman, basically what I'm saying is like, it would have to be an email that said like, if you don't open this, I'm going to kill your entire family.
And then for me to open, and then she gets a $1. Wrote. Oh, okay.
I sure. That's it. Thank you.
Okay.
That's what I feel about Liz.
Okay. So my, thank you for your opinion. My opinion is she's kind of a psycho and I'm kind of obsessed. Like, she's like the one and only Liz. That's the thing. I'm like, why is everyone talking in third person? It's so crazy. And she's like, I can't fathom a man who can handle how much money I have. It's like, stop speaking. What is happening?
It comes back to this, like, everybody's here for the survivor experience. Nobody is here for $1 million buckaroonies. Like, I don't get it. Why people are talking about fucking money. Stop.
The second she said, this money would better my life, but it wouldn't change my life. Like, there's just no way I'm giving you $1 million. Don't.
She's not a serious player. She is not a serious player to me in my mind. She's there for the experience. She's there because her daughter dared her to or something. Banu, not a serious player. He's there so he can like see Jeff in the flesh. Jess, not a serious player. She was there. I couldn't tell you why. Jelinski, not really a serious player. Like,
he did want to win. He just wanted to. You can be a serious player, but suck.
He wanted to be legendary. He wanted to be iconic. He wanted to go down blaming in a big flaming sack of shit.
I don't think there's anything wrong with wanting to go down in a big flaming sack of shit. I think that's okay. I really do think that's okay. Like, I disagree about Jelinski, but I agree about Banu and Jess. I think Jess, like, she says it in this episode. She's like, I thought I was going to come in and be a social butterfly, and I'm just not. Like, you think it's the type of situation where you have an idea about yourself and then you come into something and you realize it's not probably not how you're going to play it. But
what a reality check.
Yeah, I feel bad. But luckily, if she's not thinking about it, she doesn't regret it.
That's so true.
All we can hope for
Goofy
is that fucking Yanu wins a thing so we can get some drama on another team.
Yeah.
I mean, or not. Or Banu goes home. Either way. It's fine.
I mean, the Banu going home episode, which there will be that episode.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I don't even think he's a goat enough to drag to the end. I think he would just blow up your entire spot. Like, he must go.
Yeah.
He must be gone. That's going to be amazing.
I can't wait. Yeah, overall, like, I'm enjoying watching it. I'm excited for it to get back to 90 minutes. I don't need 2 hours, especially because, like, for the pod, we have to rewatch. So it just takes forever. Yeah. And I'm enjoying it. I'm every Wednesday, baby. I'm just smiling.
Shoes in love with the hags.
Yeah, I'm enjoying the season. I think I'm, like, actively enjoying it more than I remember liking 43, 44, 45. Like, cast wise, I'm just like laughing. I'm laughing a lot this season, which is like bringing joy. And I think other people disagree. Some podcasts are disagreeing, some aren't. I mean, Drop Your Buffs certainly does not like this at all. I only listened to their last week's episode, but they're just not loving this season, and I still like to hear their takes because I don't mind when a podcast just bashes something. I enjoy that. But I do disagree with them because I'm having fun.
I'm having a blast.
Yeah, baby. Any final thoughts, Miss Tevin?
Oh, Miss Jelinski, let me have a look see through my notes here.
I love handwritten notes, girl.
You know,
you should see her just like paging through these on a Friday afternoon. It's gorgeous outside, paging through handwritten notes.
That's so romantic. It's kind of like Jane Austen or something beautiful like that. I have nothing else to say.
Me neither. Okay. So we'll be back for episode 3. Only 90 minutes next episode. So we're going to just be choosing love 30 less minutes next week.
We'll be placing that love elsewhere.
Exactly. And if you were watching The Traitors, we also covered The Traitors, not Julia because she doesn't watch, but me and a couple other co-hosts covered The Traitors and we had a blast. The finale aired last night. What a gag. I was gagged. I loved it. So you can go listen to that coverage. If you're listening to this on a Survivor feed or on The Traitors feed or Bingetown, whatever. Bingetown is the main feed. So Bingetown TV. Anywhere you listen to podcasts, you can kind of scroll. We have like, oh my God, a bajillion shows, 500 plus episodes of everything. We covered Survivor 45 and 46, The Traitors, and then a bunch of scripted shows. So right now we're covering Shogun, Masters of the Air, a bunch of other things I just can't think of right now. So go check. I'm doing it for years. We're having a good time. Jewel, thanks for popping on. Love you, girl. Love you, Miss Haggy. Love you, Hag.
Love you. Happy International Women's Day.
Thanks for listening, y'all. You fucking hags.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.